This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, cool results on the origin of cosmic rays, the evolution of star formation, and searching for local dark matter. High-energy particle showers were first detected in the Earth's atmosphere in the 1930s, caused by the arrival of cosmic rays from outside the atmosphere. Such showers are triggered by the impact of particles with energies higher than 10 to the power 18 electron volts. That's a million times greater than the energies involved in particle collisions at the Large Hadron Collider. But although we know what these cosmic rays are, their origin is still somewhat uncertain. Up to now, the most likely idea was that the highest energy particles were created in gamma-ray bursts, the extremely bright but short-lived events where massive stars collapse to form black holes, accelerating particles up to high velocities and producing large numbers of weakly interacting particles known as neutrinos. But now a team of researchers have found evidence which shows that either gamma-ray bursts are not the only source of such energetic cosmic rays, or that the efficiency of the process which creates them is much lower than models predict. The new results come from IceCube, a neutrino telescope built by an international collaboration and buried deep under the Antarctic ice. Consisting of more than 5,000 sensitive detectors buried under the surface in holes drilled more than 2 kilometres deep, IceCube is designed to detect the tiny flashes of light emitted when high-energy neutrinos interact with atoms in the ice. Such interactions are rare, so IceCube has to be large. The detectors are spread throughout a volume of more than a cubic kilometre, making it the largest neutrino detector on the Earth. When a neutrino interacts with atoms in the ice, it creates a particle known as a muon, which emits a tiny amount of blue light. IceCube's detectors are sensitive to this blue light, and, by measuring the direction and intensity of this light, the research team can determine where in the sky the neutrino originated. By comparing the number and direction of neutrinos detected by IceCube with the positions of hundreds of gamma-ray bursts detected by other telescopes, the research team found that the numbers did not match. The detected neutrinos were not coming from the same place on the sky as the gamma-ray bursts. This has implications for models of the physics underlying gamma-ray bursts, since models predict a much greater flux of neutrinos than was actually detected. The other main likely source of these high-energy cosmic rays is active galactic nuclei, the supermassive black holes located at the centres of massive distant galaxies. But this may not be the full story either, since other experiments have, so far, also failed to find a match. Galaxies are made up of dust, gas, and stars, and to get a full understanding of a galaxy involves observing each of these components. The total starlight from a galaxy depends on the different stars which make up that galaxy, but stars age and eventually die, and the nature of the stellar population changes over time. In a given galaxy, the number of stars of each type that we see today depends on the distribution of stars at the time the population was created, a distribution known as the initial mass function. In the very local universe, stars of different masses can simply be counted, and such surveys find that the shape of the initial mass function does not appear to change between different environments. Studying the distribution in more distant galaxies is more difficult, since, very often, we cannot see individual stars in order to count them. This distribution is a vital part of our understanding of galaxy evolution, but despite its importance, however, it is still uncertain if the form of this distribution is truly universal among different types of galaxy, or if it evolved over time as the universe aged. Now, in a paper published in Nature on April the 25th, a team led by Michele Capellari of the University of Oxford have found evidence for a systematic variation in this mass function, which could have implications for our understanding of the star formation history of the universe. The group studied a sample of 260 nearby so-called early-type galaxies, those which are elliptical or lenticular in shape, and some of the oldest known objects in the nearby universe. By mapping the velocities of stars in each of the galaxies, the researchers could calculate the ratio of the amount of light produced by the stars in each galaxy, dominated by the population of massive stars, to the amount of mass within the galaxy, which is dominated by the far larger number of low-mass stars. This quantity is known as the mass-to-light ratio. By comparing the ratios calculated from the observations with predictions from model populations of stars created using different initial mass functions, the team found a systematic difference between galaxies of different types. Low-mass stars are far more numerous than their higher-mass cousins, but this research shows that massive elliptical galaxies have a larger fraction of low-mass stars than younger spiral galaxies such as the Milky Way, and, crucially, that this difference is not due to the effects of dark matter. This result implies that there is no such thing as a universal initial mass function, which is applicable to all galaxies, but that there is, in fact, a variation with galaxy type. This could have wide-ranging implications for a variety of areas of astrophysics, since the results show that the often used assumption that the initial mass function is universal is inconsistent with galaxies in the real universe. And finally, The motions of stars in the outer regions of a galaxy can be used to measure the mass of the galaxy, but such measurements show that the outer stars move faster than they should, given the amount of visible matter that we can actually see, material in the form of gas, dust, and the stars themselves. This discrepancy is explained by the existence of dark matter, material with an as yet unknown nature, but which is invisible to conventional telescopes. But now, a new study of the motions of stars in the vicinity of the Sun has found no evidence for dark matter in our region of the Milky Way. In the study, accepted for publication in the Astrophysical Journal during April, a team of astronomers in Chile used optical telescopes to map the motions of more than 400 stars within 13,000 light-years of the Sun. This is the largest survey of its kind to date, covering a volume 4 times larger than ever before. Using the observations, the team found that the amount of visible matter they detected matched with the amount expected from the motions of the stars, leaving no room for the existence of dark matter in our region of the galaxy. Studies of the Milky Way show that stars in the outer regions rotate faster than can be accounted for by just the visible matter, so this result suggests that the shape of the dark matter halo around the Milky Way must be very strange indeed.